Welcome to the ISF Podcast from the Information Security Forum. The ISF Podcast is hosted by ISF CEO Steve Durbin, and every episode he brings listeners features timely conversations, practical insights, and resources for global cybersecurity professionals. I'm producer Tavia Gilbert. Today's episode is the second in our special Cyber Awareness Month series. Steve is joined in the studio by Dan Norman, ISF's Regional Director for Europe, the Middle East, and Africa. They discuss how organizations can overcome challenges to the security workforce.
We're going to be talking through some of the major challenges associated with the security workforce. So thank you for your time today, Steve. So question number one, how significant is the skills shortage in cybersecurity and cyber risk management today?
It's a good question to start with, Dan. I think that we've been talking about this sort of overall skill shortage now in the industry for quite some while, or it seems that way anyway. The sort of conclusion I'm coming to is I don't know that cyber, and this may surprise some people, I don't know that the cyber industry is that much different from any other industry when it comes to skill shortage. You know, there aren't the people that you need with the qualifications to come straight in and do the job. And I think that we haven't helped ourselves in the more recent past in the industry by insisting on having such a large amount of experience, qualifications, and that's just not realistic anymore. So I think it is an issue. I think that some people out there, some of ISF members, have circumvented the problem. They've come up with a solution. But I think for the majority of organisations out there, there is still this challenge because we've also got churn going on too.
Yeah, it's an interesting perspective, and I think I can just add a bit of context to some of the discussions we've had at some of the conferences we've been running in the Nordics. A couple of the members there, when we posed this question to them, they said, look, there's no problem. Mm-hmm. We're outsourcing. We've got programs with universities outside of sort of Central Europe,
yeah,
and there's a steady stream of good individuals that can fill the roles. So I suppose it depends on where you're looking globally, and there's other solutions, but I definitely would say it's a challenge in the short term. So my follow-up question there is, how can organizations approach remediating the skills shortage in the short term? Is there anything that you can recommend?
Yeah, I think the key piece to that is short term. So how do you find people to do the job that you have to do today? And I think the answer to that is outsourcing, a bit like you've just said for some of the members that we've got over in the Nordics. But that's only ever going to be a sticking plaster. I think that we need to have some much longer term strategies in place to do that. And for me, it's about really being, I think, quite focused about what you're trying to do, and so therefore what skill sets you're going to need going forward. And then you have to look at when you're going to need to bring those on. So that will take you down the road of working with universities. It will take you down the road of apprenticeships. It will take you down the road of bringing people into the industry that perhaps have other skill sets. So perhaps bringing them in from, say, the arts. So not being so insistent on having cyber qualifications in day one. Because if you think about a lot of the things we now talk about at the ISF and amongst our member community, it is about people skills. You know, we've got a shortage of people skills in the cyber industry. So let's try and plug that and use some of the technical competence to work hand in hand there. So I think a number of different ways we can go about doing it, but we have to think differently from the way that we've thought in the past.
Yeah, I suppose it goes back to being sort of sustainable in terms of having a diverse portfolio of individuals that aren't just coders, mm-hmm, or sort of have cyber-specific university degrees. There's other options.
Yeah.
That leads quite nicely, I think, onto the next question, which is, what will the security or risk management workforce look like in 2024 and beyond, in your opinion?
Wow. I think, you know, based on what I've just said, I think we will start to see much more of a blending of resources. The piece that I'm really excited about, though, is the way in which we manage to integrate technology into that, particularly artificial intelligence, machine learning, that kind of thing. I think that really presents us with an opportunity to get the best from what technology can do so that we can focus on what the people can do and have the two working collaboratively together. I think that's the way forward. Whether or not we'll achieve that in 2024, I don't think so. I think it's going to take slightly longer than that. So we are going to have to be very, very focused through 2024, because we can't ignore some of the wider economic and other challenging issues that are around in the world. And I think that means that budgets will still be tight. I think resources will still be short. So I think from the security standpoint, we're going to have to work very much more closely with the business to focus on exactly what it is that we need to be doing, get their buy-in to that. So I think it's going to be yet another challenging year in 2024, frankly.
Absolutely. We touched upon outsourcing at the very beginning of the conversation. And the anecdote that I was referencing in the Nordics, the individual, the CISO there, mentioned that they have collaborative partnerships with Eastern European countries, universities as well. What role, though, do you think emerging nations are playing and could play in providing a diverse, skilled security workforce in the future?
I think that they have a very strong role to play. I mean, I think if you look at, you know, the work that we do at the ISF, and particularly the work that you're doing, say, in the Middle East, it's really demonstrating that there are skill sets there that perhaps people in the more traditional countries hadn't fully realized. And I think one of the benefits coming out of COVID is that we've also come to the conclusion that you don't necessarily have to relocate some of these people. So you can have a workforce that is spread around the world where you can get some really good skills that perhaps you can't get closer to home, that also are able to operate in different time zones. And the reason I raise that is that that brings a different complexion to it as well. Because, you know, I think from a technology standpoint, we're used to these sort of follow-the-sun type support programs and what have you. But from a security perspective, being able to work with multiple teams in multiple time zones, so you're handing over work to people who are in a different location, who are, you know, fresh and ready to go, is a real asset, I think. So I think organizations need to look a little bit more broadly. I think that there is definitely opportunity to work in the areas that you're talking about. And I think, again, if I look into our membership, some of our more some of our bigger members, the ones that have got perhaps more highly developed security programs, are indeed beginning to do that if they haven't already done so.
Following on from that, a lot of the discussions I've had at chapter meetings at the ISF have discussed information security as having a somewhat of an identity crisis. And I think that follows on from what we were talking about there with having sort of tech-focused pathways into information security. Do you see that identity crisis as predominantly a tech issue? And if so, what do you think's behind it? Is it just a legacy thing?
I think part of it is legacy. I think that still, you know, when I talk to members, some of them still report through from the CISO standpoint into the technology space. Now, I've always traditionally said I don't like that as a route to go, because I think that it focuses too much on the technology rather than on the overall people-based environment that you have to be working in from an organizational standpoint. And certainly security needs to be focused, I believe anyway, more on how you use the technology rather than on the technology per se. But I don't know that we've got a particular sort of identity crisis going on there. I think that we do have, you know, an industry that continues to mature. So it's by no means at that maturity point yet. And I think we have to expect with new regulations, with new technologies, with new challenges that are coming in, that it will remain in that sort of immature, needing to be flexible, needing to be agile space for, I hope, actually, the foreseeable future, because I think that's what makes it so interesting and such a vibrant space to be working in.
Absolutely. One final question here, and it's something that one of our colleagues in the research team is looking at, the CISO role and the emergence of BISOs, or Business Information Security Officers. Can the BISO role complement the CISO role, or will it undercut it? What do you see that trend looking like over the next couple of years or so?
I think it will depend to a certain extent on individual organizations. I'm a fan of the BISO because I think that one of the challenges that security has had is being too remote from the business, from the day-to-day operations. And I see the BISO perhaps solving some of that. But I don't see the Chief Information Security Officer going away. I think that it may morph into something that is a much more senior level role. I mean by that perhaps, you know, on a board, because we're seeing so much regulation that is placing the responsibility, the onus on security and making sure that an organization is resilient on board directors. But I think we will get to a place where we have to have people on boards who are nominated as being the security expert. So from a CISO standpoint, I see that as being a potential career route. I think, though, for a lot of organizations, they will stick, certainly over the next 2 to 3 years, with what we know as somewhat more of a traditional CISO-type approach. And I think that's probably right, given the stage of maturity that most organizations are at, where you will have, you know, a clear security department that's headed by a chief information security officer working with BISOs that are put out there into the business to provide these feeds back in so that you get this rather holistic view as to where security must be going in order to meet the needs of the business.
Yeah, I definitely have seen with conversations we've been having with members, any multinational organization that has a variety of business units, that decentralized approach certainly helps with exposure, communication, both up and downstream.
Yeah.
So definitely see that being a similar trend moving forward. So thank you very much for your insights on the security workforce.
Thanks very much indeed, Dan.
Thanks to Dan and Steve for today's conversation. We'll be back next week with the final episode in our special Cyber Awareness Month series, a conversation on security culture. In the meantime, if you would take 10 seconds to pull up this podcast on whatever device you're listening, give us a 5-star rating and write a quick review, we'd be grateful. You can also listen to the ISF Analyst Insight podcast, which goes in-depth on the hottest topics in information security. In every episode, ISF analysts hand-select active security professionals from ISF member organizations to discuss how the implementation of ISF research is uniquely applied to their real-world context. We hope you'll listen, and of course, we'll put a link to that show in our show notes. If there's a topic or question that you'd like us to cover in a future episode, let us know at securityforum.org, which is also where you can find our catalog of past video and podcast episodes, as well as ISF's research, practical tools, and guidance related to discussions like today's. The ISF podcast is produced by TalkBox and Tavia Gilbert, with senior producer Katie Flood. Mix and master by Kayla Elrod. Music by Alexander Filipiak. Thanks for listening.